greatest thing you'll ever do is hide the Word of God in your heart. Nothing else will help you through life like the Word of God will. Let's go to Psalms, chapter number 15 this morning. Tell you what, let's pray first this morning before we do anything. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. Lord, I thank you for our young people, Lord. And God, I thank you for how you're working and moving in their lives, Lord. And God, I ask you just please continue to help them to grow and mature spiritually, Father. And Lord, I ask that you would help us as we stand this morning. Lord, Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing. And God, I pray that you'd touch and help us, Lord. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'd have liberty and free course to take the truth of your word. And God, that you accomplish the work that you'd have done here this morning, Lord. Father, we just pray that you'd be honored and glorified, Lord. And God, that you just help your people today, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms chapter number 15, verse number 1. We're going to see David's asking two questions. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That abiding, notice the words he used, abide and dwell. That speaks of a permanent location. That tabernacle, when the tabernacle, the holy hill referred to Jerusalem. So what he's referencing here is the place where God is at. David is interested. Here's what David's interested in. David is interested in the man that can dwell and abide where God's at. That's his question. He's not interested in somebody that can just get there every now and then. His concern is who can dwell there? Who can abide? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who's qualified? Lord, who can stay there? And here's the question that went through my mind when I read this. Why would we want to? I mean, David's asking who, but I'm asking you why. In my mind, this is probably an odd illustration, but my mind went back when I lived at home. I mean, that's what David's asking. Who can dwell where God's at? My mind, I just went back to when I lived at home. And you know what? There's things when I'm just going to tell you, if you knew me when I was younger, I liked living at home. I mean, I stayed there as long as I could. But here's some things. When you live at home, when I lived at home, let me say it this way. I never sat there and wondered if I was going to talk with Dad that day. I didn't get up that morning and just wonder, I wonder if I'm going to get to see Dad today. You know why? Because that's where he dwelled. And you know what was there? His presence was there. And every day that I lived there, on a regular basis, you know what? I got to get in his presence. You know why? Because that's where he dwelled. And as long as I was dwelling and abiding where he was at, I was in his presence. My dad's got a brother that lives in Oklahoma. He loves him. But you know what? He don't get to get in his presence all the time. You know why? Because he don't live with him. As a young man, I lived there. I was in his presence every day. You want to get in the presence of God every day on a regular basis. You know what you got to do? You got to abide with him. But not only presence, I thought about protection. You know, when I lived at home, not one time, I cannot think of one time, Brother Ronnie, that I went to bed and I went around and checked all the windows and doors to see if the house was locked up. Now, when we get ready to go to bed at home, you know what I'm doing? I'm checking the doors to make sure everything's locked. You know why? Because I've got to protect my family. But when I dwelled at home, I didn't worry about that. Not one time. You know why? It wasn't my responsibility. Hey, when I was dwelling at home, when I was abiding in his house, I was under his care. It was his responsibility to make sure I was protected. Didn't worry about it at all. I thought about provision. As a kid, I'd go to the mailbox. Mom would see me out there many times to go get the mail. And I'd get it, and I'd come in, I'd put it on the table. Brother Steve, I never thought a breath about it. But you know what comes in the mail? You know as well as I do. It's just bill after bill. I go to the mailbox now, and I get it out, and it's, oh my goodness, what we got now? And you know, because it's just sunken, I got something else I got to pay. But Steve, I'd bring that mail in as a kid and throw it on the table, and I never gave one thought toward anything. I didn't sit around worrying about how he's going to pay the electric bill. I didn't sit around and worry if he was going to have food in the pantry. In fact, Mom always kept, she probably, I know you still got it, kept a little notepad next to the pantry cabinet. And if you wanted anything or anything, you know what you did? You just wrote it on there. And Brother Steve, I could go and I could write, I want some chocolate ice cream, and within a couple of days, you know what, it'd be in the freezer. I didn't have to do anything for it. All I had to do was just request what I wanted. If I needed shoes, I could tell Dad I'm needing some new shoes. Within a day or two, somebody was taking me to the store to buy me some shoes. Everything I needed when I was abiding in their house, Dad just took care of it. David's asking, who can abide? Who can dwell? And here's why. There's protection. There's His presence. There's provision. But not only that, there's peace. I can remember being in school and being troubled, just having days when you're just kidding. We all have troubles. Having problems, trials, just upset. But you know what? If I could just get home, no matter what I had to deal with that day, if I could just get home at the end of the day, you know what? I just lay it all aside. I didn't have to worry about anything because of the peace that was there. And so here's, David knows, if a man can dwell and abide with God, here's what's going to happen. He's going to be in God's presence. He's going to be under God's protection. He's going to be God providing for him. And there's going to be a peace that he's not going to find anywhere else. And so here's his question. Who can abide there? Who is this man that can do that? And let me say this. We're living in perilous times. We don't believe it. By our actions, listen, prosperity has blinded us to the point that we think everything's great, that everything's always going to be great. We are in perilous times. And if we don't see that, we're blind. We think our homes are great, everything's going good, we're being foolish. We have no foresight. The devil has blinded us. We are in perilous times. And here's the thing. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. You know what awaits me down the road? Problems. There's not one individual, there's not one home represented here this morning that there's not some dark days ahead of you. Andy, there's some dark days headed your way somewhere down the road. I could go to Brother Steve. Brother Steve, there's some troubles coming your way. But you know what, Brady, I could go to you. 17 years old, and I wish I could tell you that life was grand, that everything was going to go great. But son, there's going to be some problems come down your way. There's some dark days headed your way. And here's what you're going to find out. When they come, no amount of money in the world can fix them. Your friends can't help you. Son, I love you. I'd do anything I could for you. But there's going to be things come in your life, and you know what? I ain't going to be able to help you. You know what you got to have? You got to have God. The only thing that's going to help you is you got to have His presence. You got to have His peace. You got to have His protection. You got to have His provision. Nothing else is going to work. That's the only thing. And the only way you're going to get that is abiding with Him. See, this is what breaks my heart. And you've seen it too. You see people that are truly saved. But they get out of church and they start getting away from God, and then trouble comes in their life. And you know what they need? The only one that can help them is God. That is the only solution. That is the only answer. But here's what happened. That fellowship is broken. And let me say this. Your relationship with God, if you're saved, relationship does not change. Once you are saved, you're always saved. Now your fellowship, on the other hand, is a different story. Me and Brady, we could never talk again for the rest of our lives. But you know what? When he died, you know what they'd say? That's Brother Chad's boy. That relationship will not change. But now fellowship is something entirely different. It's broken. Here's what I see. I see people that when trouble comes in their life, their fellowship is so broken, they're away from God, they need help. The only one that can help them is God. But they are so far away from God, they can't get the help they need. Instead of being right there abiding with Him, that when that trouble comes, they can start asking God to help them. You know what they're having to do? There's a long journey ahead of them to even get back to the place where they can get help from God. And here's what happens. Because that journey is so great, because it's going to be so hard to get back where they need to be, to get the help that they need, they never make it home, if I could just say it that way. They live troubled and defeated lives the rest of their days. because the only one that can help them is God. And that fellowship is so far broken, they never make it back to get the help they need. And so David, here's what David's asking. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He knows that when trouble comes, God is the only one that can help him. And he's asking, who's qualified to dwell there? And there's three little things I just want to look at this morning. Verse number 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. The man that's going to abide with God, he answers his own question. Who can abide with God? Who can dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. The very first thing he's concerned about is the walk. Uprightly means straight, perpendicular. You're not leaning, you're not swaying toward anything. You know what something that leans and sways is? It's like a wave of the sea. You know what it speaks of? It speaks of instability. And we've all seen it. Somebody, they're doing right, they're living for God, then we're kind of leaning over this way, then we're going to do right again, and then we're going back this way. The one that abides with God, you know what he does? He walks upright. And we know that the walk refers to our manner of life, how we live. And I mean, I could preach on every one of these three little things. And let me just give you three little things. If we're going to walk uprightly, we're going to have to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The man who walks uprightly, let me tell you what he does. He doesn't look at his circumstances to determine his actions. His actions are not governed by what society says, by what his circumstances look like. His actions are governed by what thus saith the Word of God. And he puts his faith in that. Young people, let me tell you something. Faith is not wishful thinking. There's a lot of people that just say, well, I'm just going to trust and have faith. It's going to be all right. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is when you take the Word of God and you say, God, right there is what you said. And Lord, I don't understand it. I don't understand how it can work. But Lord, by faith, I'm going to do what you said to do, and I'm going to trust you to do your part, and you act on it. That's what faith is. Faith is not blindness. Faith is believing and trusting in what thus saith the Word of God. We live in a society when God's people don't live by faith. They walk by sight. Their actions are governed not by what God says, not by what God says we need to do, but by what they think, what looks right in their eyes. The upright man, you know what he has to do? He walks by faith. And I've got to hurry through these close to me. The upright man, he walks by faith. He walks by the Spirit. He allows the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct his steps. Young people, I keep going back to you. You know what will cause you to fall into a life of sin? If you're saved, let me tell you what's going to cause it. By you not yielding to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
When you do not yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself in a life of sin. Because what happens when we go to... If you belong to God, God speaks to you. The Holy Spirit indwells you, and you start doing something you shouldn't do. You're watching something you shouldn't watch. Saying something maybe you shouldn't, and there's that little conscience, that little voice on the inside say, hey, you shouldn't do this. Hey, you need to turn the channel. You don't need to be watching this. You don't need to do this. That voice, the Holy Spirit will start doing something, convicting that heart. And you know what you've got to do if you're going to walk right? You obey what He says to do. The upright man, he walks by faith. He's led by the Spirit. Then Ephesians 5:15 says this, he walks circumspectly. That word, you look it up, it means exactly or accurately. The man who walks circumspectly, he's strict in his walking. Now, let me tell you this, if I'm going to walk accurately, if I'm going to walk exactly, then I've got to have something directing my steps, something guiding me. Here's where I'm headed. The man that walks circumspectly, he has convictions. You can't walk accurately and you can't walk exactly without some convictions in your life. And you'll get them from the Word of God. Young people, if you don't have some convictions, If you don't have some godly, scriptural convictions in your life, you have no compass. You have no moral or spiritual compass through life. If you get to the place where just anything goes, you'll find your life in a mess. You know what you do? You get some convictions, and you don't do this, and you don't do that. And people look down upon it, that if you have convictions, you think you're holier than thou or something's wrong. You're not. You're just trying to live a holy life. You're trying to live your life by the Word of God. David's talking about a man that walks uprightly. The man that walks uprightly has convictions. The man who's able to dwell and abide with God is the man that walks upright. He walks honestly. He's doing right. But not only do we see he's concerned about his walk, he's concerned about his work. The man that dwells or abides God, he walks uprightly, but he worketh righteousness. Do you know we were created unto good works? Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us that. The man who dwells or abides with God is a man that works righteousness. And I started just thinking, as we work and labor for the Lord, there's some things, if God's concerned about our labors, how we're working, there's some things we need to ask ourselves. And here's the first one. What's our motive? Why do we do it? Young people, why are you serving God? I mean, that's a fair question. I mean, is it for the glory of God? That God could be honored and glorified through your life? You trying to build a name for yourself? Are you serving God out of obligation because you've been pressured to do something? Everyone in here has a motive for why you're here this morning. Everyone in here has a motive for why we're serving God. See, here's the thing. Young people, there's a growth to your spiritual motivation, if I could say it this way. And I've shared this before, but just came back to it. It starts out as discipline. Blake, you know why you're here this morning? Because you had to be. I didn't come to your room this morning and say, Blake, do you want to go to church? You didn't have a choice, did you? And I could start right through here and go all around our church, our young people. You know why you're here? Because you had to. You were made to come. And as we serve God, here's where it starts, meantime. It starts out as discipline. We do things because we just have to do it. But you get discipline long enough, and then it turns into duty. Duty doesn't say I have to. Duty says I ought to. When I lived at home, Brother Bud, I got up and went to church. There was no option. There was no question. You got up and went. But when I got older, 18 years old, still living at home, I mean, I was my own man. Dad wasn't waking me up anymore and saying, hey, son, you need to get up and go to church. I mean, I was working a job. They didn't know my work schedule. I mean, I was working a job doing things. But you know what I do? There was times I didn't feel like going to church. But I went. You know why? Because I ought to go. I may not have wanted to, but it's just the right thing to do. But then one day it became desire. Desire says I want to. Nobody was making me. I wasn't feeling guilty out of duty saying it's just something I ought to do. But there was a desire inside of me that that's what I wanted to do. When I thought about how good God had been to me and what all God's done for me, there was a desire inside of me that wanted to serve Him to do something. And young people, listen, if you're going to abide and dwell with God, you know, the man that's abiding with God, you know what he's saying in his heart? That I want to serve Him. Hey, his motivation for working and serving God is that desire. Because he's abiding with God, he has a desire to do that. I'm going to tell you this, this may sound harsh, you can measure where you're at spiritually a lot of times by your motivation. Hey, if you're doing what you're supposed to do just because you have to, that's good. You still need to come to church. But here's what that tells you. You're not abiding with God like you need to be. There's a motivation with our work. There's a method to how we labor. How are we going to get it done? I mean, we know the work of the Lord. Go and tell all these things. The job that's out there to evangelize and do our part. How do we go about doing it? Do you know we live in a day when there's there's gimmicks, if I could just say it that way, all the time. How we're going to labor for the Lord. I've got some people that live close to me, and their philosophy is just the relaxed atmosphere. We just have a relaxed atmosphere in our place where, you know, we don't prefer, they can just be who they want to be. Here's really what they're saying: we don't have any standards. Listen, if a man, a sinner, can live any way he wants to, come in the house of God and not feel convicted over his lifestyle, there's a problem. I'll tell you what problem. There's a problem with the church. Listen, if a saint of God can go out and live and do anything they want to and come to the house of God and not feel some conviction and guilt and conscience, there's a problem. We don't need gimmicks. All the ball teams and all this stuff trying to reach people. Last time me and Brother Brian went and got our certification for the prison to go in there, there was a group of young men behind us, and you know what they were going to do? They were going to go into the prison system and play softball. Let me ask you something. Here's a man in prison, lost, no hope, home's a wreck. Life could not get any worse than where he's at. But boy, my life was changed because some fellas come in and we knocked the ball around. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know who they're doing it for? They're not doing it for those inmates. They're doing it for themselves. They've got a little idol in their heart, and it's a ball. And so you know what they're going to do? Let's put God's name on it, and we'll make it a ministry. That way we can hide where our heart is truly at. That's all that is. You know what it is? It's a gimmick. All that stuff is. You know what our method is for how we labor for the Lord? It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. Listen, what God said 2,000 years ago worked, you know what? It still works today. It's the preaching of the Word of God. The only thing that's going to change a man's life is the Word of God. We don't need better methods. Let me tell you what we need. We need better men. We need some men that will stand and say, this is what the Word of God says. This is how we're going to do it. We're lacking in that. David's concerned, the man that dwells or abides with God, he's got to work right. And I mean, we could talk about our manner of how we're to work. Do you know we're to work with power? Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We're to give God our very best. We're to work with perseverance. Let us not be weary, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We just don't quit. We work with partnership. We are laborers together with God, for without me you can do nothing. We're going to walk. If we're going to work righteousness, we've got to have the right motive. We've got to have a desire in our heart to want to do right. Do it according to the Word of God and give God our best. But then lastly, we see our walk, we see our work, but then, and speaketh the truth in his heart, we see our words. The man who's going to dwell or abide with God, he speaks truth. Not from his heart. It says he speaketh the truth in his heart. Now here's the thing. If you have truth in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We know that. But we also know the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How can a man that is lost... You go, and we've all experienced this. You talk to them. They're lost. They don't go to church. They don't care about things of God. But they're right with God. I mean, they'll tell you, I'm ready to go. And I mean, I'm sitting here, when I'm here, and I'm thinking, man, I'd be scared to death. But they're ready to go. You know why? Their heart's deceived them. Never darken a church door, but they're ready to meet God. Why does a believer who's backslid on God... blind to what he truly is. It's his heart. His heart's deceived him. Here's what has to happen. Speaketh truth in his heart. The man that is going to dwell or abide with God, he's honest with himself. He speaks the truth in his heart and he lets the Word of God change his life. Listen, your actions are determined by what's in your heart. And when you start putting truth in your heart, you're going to do right. See, the Word of God will change your life. Young people, that's why it's so important to hide the Word of God. It will change your life. But here's the thing. You've got to let it. You have a choice. You can take the Word of God and you can justify why it don't apply to you or why it's okay, why this part don't matter. There are people that do that. The Word doesn't change your life. They won't let the truth in their heart. You let the truth in your heart, it's going to change your life. Here's what I see. David's asking, who can abide with God? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's the man that walks right, the man that works right, and the man that speaketh the truth in his heart. And I want you to notice something. All those verbs are present tense. It's walketh, worketh, and speaketh. See, you're not going to abide with God or dwell with God if you're living in the past. I mean, if you're resting on the fact that I used to walk right, hey, I used to have some works to my life, I used to let the Word of God change my life and direct my step. No. You know what David said? It's the one that every day is saying, you know what? I'm doing right now. I'm working right now. I'm putting the Word in my heart right now. Young people, here's what I don't want to have. Here's what I don't want to see in your life. I don't want to see you 20 years down the road just living a defeated life, home broken, life just falling apart, and you have no help because you just let yourself drift and get so far away from God. Heard a story one time about a man. He had a son that's rebellious. Wouldn't do right. He was just causing problems in the home. All these things. And so here's what the dad said he had to do. He had to tell him, son, you're just going to have to go. It's time for you to go. You can't stay here no more. So he left home. Left the very place where he could have got everything he needed. And just life was nothing but a complete mess. You know what I'm afraid happens to a lot of God's people? They won't do right. They won't work right. They won't let the Word of God in their heart. They get rebellious against God and the things of God. And if I can just say, so, here's what God has to say. You can't dwell with me and live the way you are. You're going to have to go. And that fellowship's broken. And they live a defeated life. Young people, here's why I'm telling you this. I want you to notice something. Look to the last sentence. Chapter number 15, verse number 5. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Young people, there's going to be dark days in your life. And you need God. And you know what? If you're walking right, and you're working and doing how you're supposed to, and you're letting the Word of God move and work in your life how God intends for it to do, when those dark days come, you know what you're going to find out? That God's right there to help you. You do right. There's not going to come a place where that fellowship where God's having to say, I'm sorry, but the way you're living, you've got to move on. You know what God's saying? You walk right and do right. You're never going to be moved. When that trouble comes and those dark days come and you feel like nobody can help you, ask me. I'll be right there. It breaks my heart when I see so many of God's people, their lives are completely destroyed. Their help is right there. They need God. Nothing can help them but God. That's what they need. But their fellowship is so far away from God, they won't start the journey to get back to where they need to be. Young people, don't let that happen to your life. Get right. Get with God. Stay with God. Don't live on what you used to be. Right now, today, you walk with God. And tomorrow, you get up and here's what you determine. I'm going to walk with God. And I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to speak the truth in my heart and let the Word of God challenge and change my life. And when that happens, when trouble comes your way, here's what you'll find out. You've got the presence of God in your life. You can get through anything. You've got the peace of God in your life. You've got God's protection. You've got God's provision. You've got all those things. And you know what? You'll not be moved. You can be unmovable if you choose to be so. Here's what I want to ask you this morning. I ask y'all to stand. Whoever's supposed to come play this morning for invitation, if you please come. I ask y'all, bow your heads. Troubles and trials are coming to every one of us. Dark days, and there's going to come a place in our lives when the only one that can help us is going to be God. Here's all I'm asking this morning. Are you abiding or dwelling with God? Are you abiding and dwelling with the one that can help you when trouble comes? Or is your fellowship so far from God? You know that God is who you need. You know that God is in, but your fellowship is so far, you can't get the help you need. You know, if I was like that, you know what I'd do this morning? I'd come to this altar and ask God to help me start on that journey back home. To start on that journey to get back to the place where I can get the help that I need. Young people, if you want to be unmovable, if you want to dwell and abide with God, maybe you need to come and just ask God to help you to walk right. Every day, to walk right, to work right. God spoke to your heart this morning. You come.